Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and today we are continuing in Tehillim with Mizmar 36. This is a different kind of Mizmar than we're used to. In the past, David has given us words to say when faced with external adversity. His enemies, there was danger, there were those who sought to harm him. But this song addresses a different kind of adversity, a different kind of struggle, the adversity that comes from within. This Mizmar presents a conversation between our inner voices, the good inclination, the Yetzer Tov, which is really our neshama, and the negative inclination, the Yetzer Hara. These inner dialogues are constant. Our Yetzer Tov encourages us to do what Hashem wants, guiding us towards goodness, purpose, and spiritual growth. But at the same time, we hear the Yetzer Hara tempting us to be egocentric, materialistic, complacent, or lazy, or keep going on what the Yetzer Hara does. No matter how many times we choose to follow the neshama, the Yetzer Tov, the Yetzer Hara keeps working harder, and it tries to convince us to justify wrong choices and wrong behaviors. The presence of the Yetzer Hara doesn't mean that we're not inherently good. On the contrary, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah 52a that the greater a person is, the stronger his Yetzer Hara becomes. It rises proportionately to match the strength of his Yetzer Tov. Now, we should never mistake the Yetzer Hara and its advice as our authentic self. It's not who we are. Instead, we can learn to hear it as an outside voice, attempting to give us orders that go against our true values and higher purpose. This Mizmar gives us the clarity to recognize that negative voice as something separate from our essence. And with this perspective, it becomes easier to identify it for what it is and to ignore it. Let's begin. Pasuk Aleph, Lamanatzeach le'eved Hashem le'David. For the conductor, by the servant of Hashem, by David. Notice that David refers to himself as the servant. For the first strategy, when our Yetzer Hara speaks to us, is to see ourselves as a servant devoted to the will of our master. Pasuk Beis 2, Nu'um Pesha L'Rasha Bekerav Libi. These are the words of the rebellious sin in the midst of my heart. And now we're going to hear from that rebellious sin, from that Yetzer Hara. And what does he say? Ein pachad Elokim l'neged einav. There is no fear of God before his eyes. Rashi explains that the Yetzer Hara tells us there's no reason to fear God. What does this sound like in our language? Let me just give you some examples. Number one, no one will know if you fill in the blanks. Look around, everyone else is doing it and nothing is happening to them. You can try it too. Or you can do whatever you feel like doing. No one knows, and this is similar to the first one. Rabbi Hirsch suggests that the Yetzer Hara says, if God didn't want you to do this, then he wouldn't have planted this idea in your head, or he wouldn't have put you in this circumstance or given you this talent. In other words, they try to make you think that God doesn't care about what you're doing or he doesn't notice. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ki hechalik elav be'enav, limtso avono lisno. For he is so smooth in his eyes that God, that he, capital H-E, God, will find his sin and hate him. The Yetzer Hara is talking smoothly. It's an expert in smooth talking. The Metzudas David says that it tries to show us the beauty of the Avera, of the sin, meaning that doing this Avera will make you feel good. It will even make you look good. And the Me'am Lois adds that it even may tell you that we're doing a mitzvah by doing this sin. For instance, if I commit this fraudulent deal, I will have more money to give for tzedakah. Or, here's another one, I'm speaking Lashon Hara because it's, and I quote, l'toelis, for a good and purposeful reason. So it's okay for me to slander this person. In addition, the Radak says that the Yetzer Hara tries to convince us to sin by saying, Show me where it says that it's wrong. How do you know that we can't do it? And so we start questioning ourselves. And the next thing is that we're on this slippery slope that will take us in the wrong direction. The Yetzer Hara is just trying to make us sin, and then that will make us despised by Hashem. Furthermore, the Gemara in Bava Basra 16a says that after the Yetzer Hara convinces us to sin, it then runs up to the heavenly court and accuses us of sinning, so that God will be angry at us. Pasuk Dalet, Divrei Fiv Oven Umirma, Chadal Haskil Lehetiv. The words of his mouth are evil and deceit. He stops, parentheses me, from thinking about how to improve. The Yetzer Hara tells us that everything is fine the way it is. Why change? Also, if we think about it, we want to do the right thing. So the Malbim says the Yetzer Hara works by having us act without thinking. Don't think. Has it ever happened that you did something you later wished you hadn't done and you said, I just wasn't thinking? That's the Yetzer Hara's tactic, to not have you think. The Yetzer Hara also makes us believe that we can deceive others. But eventually, others will realize that we're lying. It's only a matter of time. In the end, the only one who believes our lies is ourselves. Let's continue. Pasuk 5, Hey, Oven Yachshov al Mishkavo, Yisyatsev al Derech Lotov, Ra lo yim'as. On his bed, he thinks about sin. People often ponder many thoughts when they're ready to go to sleep. The Yetzer Hara doesn't go to sleep until we do. In fact, it often tries to keep us awake. After all, it's so much more effective when we're tired. As we review the day, the Yetzer Hara may have us thinking about who insulted us, or how we should be angry at this person, or how I can get back at this person, and on, not such a good thing. He stands on a path of no good. Evil doesn't disgust him. The Yetzer Hara is too clever to just tell us to do evil, because it knows we won't listen. Instead, it slowly leads us down the path of wrongdoing. The Mitzvah David says that first it tells us that we can stand in a path where there is negative behavior going on. Of course you don't act like that, but if others do, it's okay, you can still be there. What begins to happen is that one can start condoning the negative behavior, and we begin to lose our moral compass. And within a matter of time, it's likely that we may even do the very acts that we saw others doing at the beginning that we said we don't do. Now the Yetzer Tov, the voice of our neshama, starts to speak. Now when the neshama speaks, it includes Hashem in the conversation. And our words are speaking to Hashem, but they're also a message to ourselves. Pasuk 6, Vav. Hashem b'hashamayim chasdecha emunascha ad shchakim. What does the Yetzer Hara say? Hashem, your kindness is until the heavens. It's everywhere. Your faithfulness is until the upper heights. While the Yetzer Hara tells us Hashem doesn't see us, our neshama tells us, yes, we do see Hashem. Hashem's kindness is everywhere, and he is reliable. He does see us. The Mitzvah David explains that his vision of us is very clear, and thereby he will give the appropriate rewards and punishments. Think about it. The more we open our eyes to the kindnesses in our lives and recognize that they come from Hashem, the less power the Yetzer Hara will have over us. The Yetzer Hara tries to focus our attention on what's missing, what's difficult, and what's unpleasant in our lives. But the Yetzer Tov, our neshama, answers back, reminding us of all the good, the blessings, and the positive experiences that we're given every day. By choosing to focus on Hashem's goodness, we strengthen our connection to our true selves and make it harder for the Yetzer Hara to sway us. Pasuk Zayin. Tzitkasra kaharei el mishpatecha tohom rabba adam ubehema toshia Hashem. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments go very deep. The Yetzer Hara argues that we have to see Hashem's hand and understand all that happens. So the Malbim explains that there are times that Hashem's righteousness is so obvious that it is visible to all like mighty mountains. However, there are times that we don't see the hand of Hashem clearly. In those times, we recognize that Hashem's judgments are there, but they're hidden deep within the veil of nature. Alternatively, Rashi and Mitzudas David explain that Hashem's righteousness towards the tzaddikim is as high and great as mountains, while the judgments that he will give the sinners will take them down so low into the depths that they won't be able to be saved from it. Adam uvehema toshia Hashem, man and animal Hashem saves. The Mitzudas David says, Hashem saves the man and the animal, Hashem sees all. Rashi explains this, why is it man and animal? And he says, when a person is like an animal, in that they don't need to understand everything in order to accept God's will, animals don't analyze things. They just accept and they do. If we act like an animal in that sense, that we don't have to understand, we can develop true humility. So we can say that Hashem saves the man who has the humility of an animal. Another way of looking at this is based on the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, which says that the man is saved through the animal, or with the animal. This refers to the karban, the sacrifice. When a person brings an animal as a karban, he is granted forgiveness. And the idea is that when a person sins, it's often because an animalistic impulse has overtaken him, or as it's referred to in Hebrew, the ruach shtus. He gave in to his instincts and desires, rather than acting with a higher awareness. By bringing an animal as a sacrifice, he acknowledges that it was this animalistic tendency within him that led him astray. And the sacrifice, the korban, represents burning up and releasing that lower drive, which allows the person to return to a deeper connection with Hashem. Pasuk Ches 8. Maya kar chastacha Elokim uvnei adam betzel knafecha yechesayun. How precious is your kindness, Hashem, or how valuable is your kindness, Hashem. People take shelter in the shadow of your wings. Man and animal are saved, but man gets special kindnesses from Hashem. We really appreciate, we know how valuable are your kindnesses. And the Yetzer Tov, our neshama, encourages this because, as we said before, if we focus on the difficulties that we face and the negatives in our lives, it will be a lot easier for the Yetzer Hara to influence us. The name used in this verse for Hashem is Elokim, Mayakar Chastacha Elokim, which represents Hashem's hand of justice upon us. Even if we see Hashem's justice or judgment, we still see it as kindness. And this pasuk is said when a man wraps himself up in a talis, feeling sheltered by Hashem's protection and kindness. Pasuk Tes 9. Yerviyun mideshen ve'beisecha v'nachal adanecha sashkem. They will be full from the abundance of your house. You will give them drink from the streams of your delights. Hashem, you are so good to these humble people who bask in your kindnesses. Often people will give in to their Yetzer Hara because they feel they will get more earthly or worldly pleasures. However, when you listen to the Yetzer Tov, you will not lose anything, just the opposite. You will have such abundance from the streams of Gan Eden. The Radak says that this is referring to the future world, Olam Haba. But this is not only in the world to come. The Ibn Ezra explains that this abundance is referring to wisdom. Your soul and mind will feel so nourished. You will feel satiated. And that will give you so much pleasure. Pasuk Yud, Ki imcha makor chayim ba'orcha nir e'or. With you is the source of life. With your light, we see light. When we view life through the lens of the Yetzer Hara, our vision is limited. We see only the material world and often focus solely on ourselves in the moment. But when we follow the Yetzer Tov, our neshama, and turn to Hashem, we are able to have more clarity as we see with His light. And with this clarity, we're able to bring out our true selves. We're able to bring out our light. And now we end the dialogue between the two voices and we begin with a prayer to Hashem. Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Mishoch hastacha liyod echa v'tzidkascha liyishrei lev. Al tavo eini regel gaava v'yad rasha'im al tnideini. Extend your kindness to those who know you and your righteousness to the upright. Don't let the arrogant ones come close to me, and don't let the wicked ones influence me. Please don't let those who are arrogant come close to influence me, and they could either be actual people, or don't let our Yetzer Hara be too strong. Arrogant ones are referring to our self-centered beliefs. We pray not to have an attitude of entitlement and self-absorption. The Medrash Shochar Tov, the Medrash on Tehillim, points out that the first letters of the opening four words in Pasuk Yud Beis, Al Tivoeni Regel Ga'ava, are Aleph Tuf Resh Gimel, which spells out the word Etrog, Esrog. This teaches us to be careful when performing the mitzvah of Arba Minim, of which the Esrog is the most prominent. Do not do it with arrogance. Do not do it thinking, look how beautiful my Esrog is. And this lesson extends beyond the Esrog to all mitzvos. They should never be done to boost one's ego, but rather with humility and sincerity, purely in the service of Hashem. Al tivoeni regel ga'ava. Pasuk Yigimel, and with this we close, Shom naflu poalei aven dohu velo yachlu kum. Wherever the evildoers are, they should fall there. They should be pushed down and not be able to get up. These evildoers are referring to people who try to convince us to do evil deeds. And the Mishnah in Sota says that when arrogant people fall, they have a hard time getting back up because Hashem will not help them rise. In addition, they feel too proud to face their mistake, and their egos can't handle the process of teshuvah. In contrast, when someone who is humble makes a mistake, even though the Yetzer Hara tries to keep them down, making them feel like they can't get back up, their humility, their Yetzer Tov, allows them to ask for forgiveness and recognize that they can always try again. So as you say this Tehillim, think about which arguments are the most popular for your Yetzer Hara, and how do you counter them, or do you? Do you notice any of your decisions being motivated by your ego? Just this awareness will help prepare you so that you can overcome your Yetzer Hara and win your internal battle. We often wish that once we defeat the Yetzer Hara, it would be gone for good. But that's never the case. The Yetzer Hara returns every day with renewed strength and determination, especially after we've achieved an accomplishment. The Nesiva Shalom in Parshas Miketz teaches us that a day when we don't challenge or oppose the Yetzer Hara is a day wasted, and we haven't fulfilled our unique purpose for that day. So may we have the strength and courage to struggle with the Yetzer Hara every day, and may this Mizmor inspire us to overcome it again and again. In the merit of our inner victories and the peace they bring, may we be blessed with an end to external conflicts, lasting peace within our nation, and victory over our enemies. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmot, Helen Moskovitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of Sherit HaPleita in World War II. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, from their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.